A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello, happy Monday and welcome to another Andy Goldstein's TalkSport Daily Podcast with me, your host, with lots and lots of hair. I look like Rapunzel at the moment now. Ridiculous. Anyway, it's Andy Goldstein here. And a busy old podcast coming your way. We'll get on with it then. Yeah, I will. I'll get on with it. We begin with Tony Cascarino on the Weekend Sports Breakfast Show with Georgie Bingham. And Tony Cascarino, or Cass, as no one really calls. Yeah, people do call him Cass, don't they? Oi, Cass, do you want to? Yeah. Tone? No. TC? No. Just anyway, he was talking about Roy Keane and saying he could be funny, although he did once confront Tony in the toilet. Or TC. Or, well, it was more of a WC, actually.
As much as he wanted to be ultra-professional, Roy wasn't. Especially in my early years with Ireland, Roy was a lively character as well. You know, he'd go out and he enjoyed himself, and his family would come up from Cork to Dublin to see games, and it could be carnage and things would happen. And Roy knows all that, and he knows I know that as well. You know, things that went on within the Republic of Ireland squad and the team and the hotels and the nights out. But I say the big part is that he was unbelievable player to play with. He lifted, inspired you by his performance.
And I always like the fact you're not afraid to say how Roy Keane was, because actually I think
he's done it to me.
Are.
He's challenged.
I know.
You know, he's sort of put me in position. I've laughed. I remember being in an airport at Heathrow, and we'd gone on the sauce before we were travelling to America to go to the US Cup, and Roy came up to me in the toilet and said a few words to me in the toilet. It was really awkward. I was like, okay, Roy. Okay.
Can I finish?
Right. Come back and see me when you haven't had a bit of a skimful. But you knew there was a funny side to him as well. Do you know what? When he was in top form and his humour and he was in a good place in his head, Roy could be really funny. And you'd come back and laugh because you just said, I can't believe Roy just said that. Because it was, you know, just the way he handled conversation sometimes.
Time now to turn our attention to Jim White. Jim White, he wasn't on the weekend, was he? I don't know, actually. I have no idea. But it says in front of me that Jermaine Defoe was on Jim's show. I think this was last week. I'm not sure. Anyway, Jermaine Defoe was paying tribute to the NHS on Jim White's show.
My experiences, obviously, with my dad went well a few years back, and obviously the stuff I went through with Bradley, and you see it firsthand. I remember going and seeing my dad. This was, I'm going back like 2012. I remember going and seeing my dad at the hospital, and I remember speaking to the doctors and obviously the nurses and just watching them, you know, day in, day out, how they work, and sort of like looking at the nurses and thinking, wow, I saw you yesterday. You was here all day yesterday, and you're back here first thing, like the next day. I've always sort of like known the sort of like work that they've put in, but I mean, with a situation like this, it's just like, it's just gone to another level. You know, when you think that the hours that they work, and all they want to do after, you can imagine they must be exhausted. All they want to do after is try and fuel their bodies, and by doing that, because we all know that, you know, at the end of the day, if you don't eat and you're not hydrated and that, your brain doesn't work properly. So the fact that they sort of like can't finish work and go and have a decent meal, it's quite sad, to be honest. So I'd want people to sort of like bear that in mind, that don't take more than you need.
Now, I heard the next show and it was very, very good indeed. I was in the car dropping off some food to my mum, and I remember thinking, I'll have a listen to TalkSport. And would you believe it? I tuned in to Saturday Sessions with Sam Matterface, Stuart Pearce and Perry Groves. And they were looking back at Arsenal's winning league title at Anfield in 1989. Oh, did I laugh when I heard this one.
And the winning goal which I think is Arsenal's greatest goal ever for what it meant for like for the club, and won a title for 18 years. If you remember, Kevin Richardson took the ball off John Barnes right in the Liverpool's far right hand corner, and Barnes should have run the ball to the corner, and he didn't. And he so Richo's one of the centre midfield players, little chicken legs, right in the 92nd minute, he runs back to get the ball off of John Barnes. If he doesn't, if that centre midfield player doesn't do that, then Michael Thomas doesn't score at the other end. And when Lukey threw it out to Lee Dixon, and then Dicko said he was running away because he didn't want the ball, no, just boot it. Lukey, you know, we've got 2 minutes. So Lukey said he couldn't boot it because his thigh had gone. So he throws it to Dicko. Dicko into Alan Smith. I make the run over to the right-hand side, going into the channel. All that was muscle memory. When you look back, all of that, and Stu would have done functional play in all the time, you know, shadow play where the goalkeeper gets it, you throw it out to the right back. Your first look is, can I play it into the first centre forward, the second centre forward, then the winger, and then you go into midfield. So what those four players did with the ball, all did the right thing at the right time. You know, the right decision. Lukey to Lee Dixon, Lee Dixon's ball into Alan Smith, Smudge's layoff. I go up to the make the run. Michael Thomas then comes and supports, gets a little ricochet. And then when he runs through, I'm standing over on the right wing, and it seemed like slow motion because he's got about 35, 40 yards to go, and he'd missed a sitter 15 minutes before. So he's showing big mental strength, you know, to put himself in position. And as he's going through, he gets the edge of the ball. I'm not going to swear on the radio. So I'm like, all the Arsenal players on the pitch are going for what? Shoot. Tomo, you've got to shoot. You've got to shoot. And he waits and waits and waits. Then you've got Ray Houghton, who's trying to chat back. You've got Alan Hansen coming in one side, Steve Nicol coming in the other. And Bruce Grobler says he thought he had Tomo because Grobler doesn't commit himself. He sort of stands. And Tomo waits and waits and waits. And just as Bruce Grobler goes to his right-hand side, just, you know, sort of overbalances, Tomo flicks it over him. And it's like, oh, my good God, he's just scored. Oh, my God, he's just got... And it was a slow motion, and then Tomo run to the left of the goal, did his silly caterpillar thing. Martinez, I run over to the Arsenal fans over in the far corner, and it just that unexorable joy.
Arsenal come streaming forward now in surely what will be their last attack. A good ball by Dixon, finding Smith. For Thomas, charging through the midfield! Thomas, it's up for grabs now! Thomas! Right at the end.
Now, something that did surprise me was Danny Kelly on The Final Word alongside Simon Jordan. They were remembering Euro 96. Now, what surprises me here is that I know Danny very well and he can't even remember what he goes up the stairs for. So the fact that he actually remembered Euro 96 really did surprise me. And of course, Simon Jordan remembers it fondly that year, 1996, because of course his hair looked horrific.
I mean, there were so many brilliant games in the tournament. We'll talk about Scotland. We'll talk about England's performance against Holland in just a second as well. Just to make the sort of my own stamp in the sand here. I was working on magazines at the time, of course, largely. I had Total Sport magazine on the go, and I was still involved with the publication of Q magazine and others. And so I was still very much working in the magazine industry, but I also, at that stage, had a show where I was a sidekick to Danny Baker on Radio 1, which is hilarious. The two of us on a Saturday and Sunday, right in the middle of the sort of middle of the schedule, doing our rather ludicrous and surreal, and I hope very funny and entertaining thing on a platform that was not appropriate. It wasn't mainstream radio at the time, and we were getting people, it was the early days, as you say, of everyone owning mobile phones, and we'd worked out the things like you could get people to make, to record sounds live, or to broadcast sounds live you couldn't do before. I remember one guy told us that he had a number of interesting things in his shed, including a shotgun, and we got him to, he had a slot machine that he had no further use for. So he turned that on. You could hear all the sort of tinkling noise that they make, the little teeny music, and he shot it for us live on air. another time, we got two ice cream vans to meet at each end of a street like a gunfight and to play their jingle into a, you know, the mobile phones were still quite large in those days, but we got a great deal of fun out of it. And I have to say, we're also, in our own way, at the strange centre of that tournament. And Danny was great friends with Paul Gascoigne. And I remember after the Scotland game that you talked about, Simon, which was so brilliant, and that fantastic goal by Paul Gascoigne, on the Saturday show, Danny wanders into the studio, and he's wearing full England kit, including boots. And I said, oh, you're really getting into it. He said, no, this is the kit Gazza was wearing the other night when after the game against Scotland the other day. I said, no, you're having me on. And he showed me the shoulder where Paul had thrown himself to the ground after the goal, back down, I mean, onto his back, if you remember, yep, to do the dentist chair celebration.
Yep.
It clearly was the kit. And the boots were slightly too small for him because they were Paul Gascoigne's boots. But that's just a personal memory.
I remember being serious at that time and thinking, why, you know, Paul Gascoigne hanging around with these celebrity fans needs to be encouraged to do things differently. And I would have been probably one of those people going, why is Danny Baker hanging around with Paul Gascoigne? But that's just me being probably miserable.
Look, they were genuine friends, and I mean, we were so lucky when Talk Sport was still Talk Radio, and Danny and I had a show that went on before the football matches and then after the football matches on a Saturday. Paul, who was the most famous footballer in the country, you know, used to often ring us up before or after his games, usually with Rangers at the time, just to talk about what he was going to do that afternoon, or just to talk about what he had done that afternoon.
Back now to the Saturday sessions, and Stuart Pearce, there you go. He told a story about how Bobby Robson got his name wrong. Well, it's quite easy to do, actually, isn't it?
When I first got into the squad, people said to me, Bobby sometimes gets people's names wrong, okay, which, you know, you're aware of football, you know. And one of the stories...
They call you Terry?
No, he called me Gary. So I
was, you thought Jack Charlton was bad, Barry.
But there was a Gary Pearce goalkeeper. At least there was another
player. Yeah, there was a tie-in somewhere where he's got it. And he used to call Neil Webb Stuart Webb. So anyway, I found this out nearly to my cost. My third cap, I was a substitute on the bench in Stuttgart playing West Germany. And he looked down and he went, Gary, get warmed up. And I knew he was talking to me, but I thought, I'm not going to answer him because I'm not a Gary. And then after about 2 minutes, I heard, Gary, get warmed up. And I thought, if I keep blanking him, I'm missing out on an England cap here. So I said to myself from that moment on, whatever name he shouts down, I'm going to warm up. So it didn't really matter. So Gary Pearce got put on that night. So I don't know whether a full cap counts or a half a cap. I don't know.
You're listening to TalkSport Daily.
Now, with the Premier League currently on hold, Danny Kelly is opening up the archives, what does that even mean, to deliver the record book of Premier League seasons gone by. This week, Danny is joined by Mark Webster, the former darts champion of the world, and Adrian Clarke to review the 2003-04 season. And Adrian recalls Arsenal's 4-2 win at home to Liverpool as a pivotal moment in their season.
The game in itself is one of the best in recent memory for Arsenal fans. One of the greatest Premier League games at Highbury, no doubt about it. But it has to be put in context. Arsenal unbeaten in the league, 30 unbeaten, going for the treble. On the Saturday, they lost to Manchester United in the FA Cup semi-final. Paul Scholes scores. They're out. They've just got the double on. Expected to beat Chelsea, new money Chelsea. Wayne Bridge absolutely, you know, puts a pin in the atmosphere. And Chelsea knock out Arsenal at the Champions League. Arsenal should have won the Champions League that year. They didn't. And
what do you mean Arsenal should have won the Champions League year?
They were the best team in Europe that year, weren't they? Come on. I mean, Monaco against Porto ended up being the Champions League final. This is, you know, we're talking about
this
the invincible.
Jose Mourinho's Porto, yeah?
Yes. Yeah, so it was their opportunity. Yeah. It was their window. But it wasn't to be. So anyway, all pressure is on. They're exhausted. It's their third huge game in a week. Lots of players injured, creaking at the knees. They find themselves 2-1 down at half time to Liverpool. And the second half is, well, it was just a dream, really, for every single Arsenal fan. Thierry Henry just went through the gears. And you'll remember the goal, I'm sure, So basically, Perez scores just a couple of minutes after half-time to level it at two apiece. Then Henry, just inside his own half, thinks, you know what, I'm going to play a bit of PlayStation football now. I'm going to have some fun. And he legs it past every single member of the team. He just waltzes all the way through, does this unreal dummy on Jamie Carragher, which it just twisted his blood. He was all over the place, was Cara, and slotted it in. It was one of the goals of the season. It didn't win goal of the season, amazingly. And then he went and on completed a hat-trick before the end of the game. It was quite remarkable game. In terms of the team selection, there's a little-known fact here as well. The Invincibles, okay? This was the most famous game of the Invincibles season. And it included the team. I'll read out the names. Lehmann, Lauren, Touré, Campbell, Cole. In midfield, Gilberto, Vieira, Ljungberg and Perez out wide, Bergkamp playing off of Thierry Henry. Yeah, this was the right. Invincible team, right?
It's all right.
Little known fact, this was the first match that season, Good Friday, that 11 took to the field.
Wow.
In the Premier game. Yeah, quite remarkable, really. It's an urban myth that was the team that were invincible.
Done the whole year, you'd have thought, yeah.
On their own, yeah. And they only appeared one more time together, and that was in the final game when they beat Leicester City. So, yeah, Edu, 13 starts, Parler, 16 starts, Wiltord, Reyes, they all contributed massively. So, yeah. So it was an unreal game, a sensational performance, but an Arsene Wenger later said he was worried that his team had gone, that the mentally and physically they'd hit the wall, as you do at in the London Marathon at that sort of 20-mile mark around the Docklands. That's what he felt the team had done. And somehow, within the 11 of them, they regrouped and they were galvanised, and they produced one of the most amazing halves of football I've ever seen. And I think a lot of Arsenal fans would probably agree with that. So, yeah, for me, Arsenal 4, Liverpool 2.
Now, on Saturday night, we have a show called Fight Night with Gareth A. Davis and that northern bloke, someone Blackburn, I can't remember his name. Anyway, they always get great guests on their show, and this week was no exception. Bob Arum was on, and he was talking about the fact there are no plans for Wilder Fury 3, but it will probably be in October. I mean, make your mind up. Either you've got no plans for it, or you have, and it's going to be in October. What are you talking about, Bob?
We are making absolutely no plans other than to... We agreed, we were on a call with the BBC people, and we all agreed to scrap July because we don't think it's going to be all cleared in July. And even if it is, you know, people may be reluctant to come to Vegas to watch the fight. So right now we're planning to do that fight in the fall, probably October.
Now, sometimes on TalkSport, people make mistakes. They say silly things when perhaps they shouldn't do, or they get the name of someone's football team wrong, or you just have someone falls down, or just really, really funny stuff. And what happens is people send it to Hawksby and Jacobs, almost like a grass would. And they go, oh, I heard Alan Brazil say chocolate when he should have said Cheltenham. And then what Hawksby and Jacobs do is they listen to all the clips and they go, yeah, actually, he should have said Cheltenham. He said chocolate. Let's put it into clips of the week. Well, all of those things are in clips of the week. I've told you that already. Have a listen. These are this week's. And of course, you can hear the full clips of the week on the podcast, which is published every Friday evening. Simply called... Oh, yeah. Clips of the week.
Here's Nigel Botherway on Fisherman's Blues now, reading a text.
I've just had a good morning message from Les Weber of Angling Projects, who says, morning, Nigel, sitting on Lake Ribiere in France with you-know-who.
No, we don't. You've got to give us more than that, Nigel. You've got to give us more than that.
I like a quiz, though.
We can. Is it a quiz? I'd like a quiz, even when it's not a quiz. Now, all us TalkSport presenters are fueling our shows in different ways during this lockdown. Us with cups of tea, Big Alan with his special coffees, and as for Jim White...
For everybody at home, just in case you're wondering, we are all well spaced out here in this studio.
Well, OK. I saw Jim the other day, I just thought they were regular mushrooms. I just thought he was going to have a cooked breakfast. I had absolutely no idea, but so now we know.
Well, that's it for another podcast today. Good work, everyone. Well done. Yes, pat yourselves on the back. A reminder, not that you know, I'm so getting bored of even saying this line. Acast, Spotify, Apple Podcast. Do I need to say, why don't I just call it the ASA? ASA. Reminder, ASA. I'll just say that. Reminder, ASA. And then you know it's you can download it from Acast, Spotify, Apple Podcast. Just reminder, ASA. ASA. Yeah? Or AS. I've already done that, haven't I? What other ones? SAA, say.
Sa, sa.
No, it doesn't. ASA is probably good. ASA. ASA, remember? ASA, everyone. ASA. And I'll just say that now at the end of every show. Thanks for listening. ASA. And then you go, oh, yeah, yeah. Acast, Spotify, and Apple Pods. Anyway, what am I talking about? Oh, yeah, that's it. That's all we've got time for. Reminder that tomorrow night, or tonight, what am I talking about? Well, and tomorrow, but it's Monday now. So tonight, tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday, so every night this week, apart from Friday, I'm back on TalkSport from 10 p.m. for more of the same nonsense that we usually do in the sports bar, alongside that fella with the massive head, Jason Cundy. So that's it. Thanks for listening. Try and have a good day if you can. You know, be positive. Wash your hands. Wash your hands. That's quite important. Wash your hands. Stay indoors. Again, another important thing. And be safe. And we'll get through this together, gang. Oh, yes, we will. Have a good day. Wash your hands. Don't speak to anyone. Don't look at anyone. Be safe. Just do whatever you need to do to get through it, gang. Good work.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.